Peter Vaughan stars in Prince of Thieves by Rod Beecham.
She is a true Christian, my old lady. A deeply religious person. Every Sunday, morning and evening, matins and evensong, me and Frankie would be scrubbed raw and dressed in our little dark suits and dragged off to sing hymns in our squeaky little voices.
Yes?
I still know most of hymns, ancient and modern, off by heart.
Ah, just hang on a moment, Jack, when I change the tape. So, you were brought up in the Christian faith, were you?
More than my life was worth to play conkers on a Sunday.
And you resented this? You resented this permanent imposition of an outmoded system of values?
I don't know about that. It was her way of putting her Christian principles into practice. That was what used to get up my nose. Rewards and punishment, heaven and hell.
Well, that's not uncommon.
Yeah, but Frankie, being a little creep, and me being me, he got all the rewards and I got all the punishment. Especially since you'd give him two bob to shop me every time I did anything the good Lord would have looked cross-eyed at.
Uh-huh.
Model aeroplanes. That's what a little bleeder used to spend it all on. He had the finest collection of model aeroplanes in Wandsworth, and I had a permanently striped backside.
Well, I don't think we need to look any further, do you, Jack?
You are.
I think we can safely say that we've traced the root of your antisocial tendencies. I think we can see why you turned to crime and why that crime tended to be of a violent nature, so violent, in fact, that it's led you to this prison and a 15-year sentence for malicious wounding.
Oh, we can see that, can we?
Oh, I think so, don't you? An intelligent man like yourself, I'm sure you don't need to have it spelt out to you. Revenge. That's what you're after. Revenge on your mother for beating you, on your brother for betraying you. And because they were older and stronger than you, you could never get your own back in them directly. So you spent the rest of your life taking it out on society at large. It's what we psychiatrists refer to as transferred aggression.
Transferred aggression? Oh, that's what it is, is it?
That's it. That's what it is.
Oh, really? Only, it's not altogether true, you know.
What isn't?
That I never got my own back on Frankie and Mum.
Oh, yeah?
I mean, you're right. He was bigger and older than me, but by the time I was 12, I'd learned everything there was to learn about dirty fighting. So one day I tied him to a chair in the kitchen and then I put his things through the meat mincer.
You put his things?
Yeah, his things. His model aeroplane.
Oh, I see.
All 57 of them. Hurricanes, Spitfires, Fokkers, Messerschmitts, all going in one end and a pile of balsa wood coming out the other. The look on Frankie's face, I wish you could have seen it. I still think about it sometimes when I'm feeling a bit down.
Yes, I see.
And then I made a pile of all my mum's things. In books, Bibles, all her Sunday dresses. Stuck them in the middle of the garden, set a match to them and sang Onward Christian Soldiers till there wasn't nothing left of them.
And how did she react to that?
Do you know, it's the one great sorrow of my life that I never knew. She had some money she was saving behind the clock for a new three-piece suite. As soon as the flames had died down, I stuffed my pockets with that and had it away. Never saw either of them again.
Yes, Jack. Well, I think we're making real headway here. Real progress. That story of yours, it's what we psychiatrists refer to as...
Right, you're on, Professor. Oi, Doc, I'm talking to you.
How did I wake up?
Oh, I'm terribly sorry. I was miles away.
Chance would be a fine thing.
Come on, Partita, the psychiatrist ain't got all day.
Oh, no, of course not. I do beg your pardon.
What did you say he was in for?
He killed two people. It's common knowledge.
Bloody hell. Somebody sort of held his hand for him and pointed a gun, did they?
It wasn't a gun. Actually, it was all very nasty.
How was it? You've got such a thing as a cigarette, have you, Mr. Thompson?
Yeah, all right, Jack. But do me a favour. Stamp it out if anybody comes along. Mr. Fisher's already had words with me about me being too thick with you.
Oh, dear. Well, we'll have to do something about that, won't we? Don't want you getting into trouble. Of course, the best way of keeping you out of trouble with Mr. Fisher would be to remove temptation from your path altogether. That'd be the best way of keeping you in the clear. Hmm? Thought any more about what we was discussing the other day, have you, Tomo?
It's not on, Jack.
You what?
It's not on. The shot's not on the board. I mean, the odd favour for the odd fiver, that's one thing, but going over the wall, that's something else altogether. I'm sorry.
That's all right, Tomo. No need to apologise. I admire integrity in a man. I particularly admire integrity. A man with 6 mouths to feed and a seventh on the way and 3 months behind with his hard purchase payments into the bargain. I mean, when a man like that turns down a chance to get his hands on 10 grand free of tax and similar deductions, I'm almost speechless with admiration.
You said 5 grand before.
Did I? No, I'm sure I didn't. I'm sure I said 10. I certainly meant to say 10.
I can't help you, Jack.
Of course you can't.
No, I mean, I can't. Even if I wanted to, I couldn't. You know what it's like in this place. Us ordinary screws haven't got any power at all. The whole place is run from that bloody control room. Fisher or Jenks, they just sit there and stare at the video screens.
Disgusting invasion of privacy.
And the rest of it's down to that bleeding computer. That turns the lights on and off, resets the alarms, locks the cell doors at night and opens them in the morning.
Makes you sick, doesn't it? The Japanese use their electronic wizardry to produce videos, pocket computers, nice little games for the family. All things to make the world a better place to live in. And what do the British boffins produce? An escape-proof nick. No wonder we're a financial disaster area.
Yeah. Well, there it is, Jack. There's nothing I can do. Nothing anybody can do. No good offering 10 grand to a computer.
No, I suppose not, no. What I need is a tame electronic wizard of my own.
Ah, well, look no further than the next room.
Eh? Well, the Nutty Professor?
Doc Pargeter, yeah. Didn't you know? He's a genius. Before he fused his wiring, he had his own company, pulling in over 100 grand a year. They reckon there was him, Clive Sinclair, and nobody.
You interest me strangely, Mr. Thompson.
There's no point wasting your time with him, Jack. He's nutty as a fruitcake.
Oh, well, we're all a bit mad in here, Tomo.
Yeah, but there's mad, then there's really mad. Then there's Doc Pargeter.
Mind if I join you?
Prince.
Jack Prince. We go together on Wednesdays to see that Paddy Shrink.
Paddy Shrink?
The metric cyclist. The psychiatrist.
Oh, Dr. Hamer. Yes, of course.
Right, so you don't mind if I sit down?
No, of course not. Please do. He's a nice man, Dr. Hamer, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, very amiable.
He agrees with me, you know. There was nothing else I could do.
No, only I saw you sitting here with your chessboard all by yourself. Just thought you might like a bit of company.
Do you play?
Well, not so much what you call play, exactly.
Only I think it's fair to warn you. I hope you won't think I'm boasting, but the facts speak for themselves. I am virtually unbeatable if I give the game my full attention.
Is that a fact?
Oh, yes. I once designed a chess-playing computer with 15 levels of difficulty. At the 15th level, it could be guaranteed not to beat, but to force to a draw any grand master living. Guaranteed every time.
Oh, well, it's quite an achievement. Actually, it was your skills in that particular direction that I was wondering if we might have a little chat about.
Ah, a fellow scientist.
No. I'm what you might call pig ignorant in these matters. That's the point. I'm eager to learn. I mean, you've got to look to the future. I could be out of here in 9 years.
Oh, well, I'd like to help you, but unfortunately, I myself will be out of here in a matter of weeks.
Eh?
Oh, yes. I've arranged it all through Dr. Hamer. He's going to have a quiet word in the right quarters.
Oh, yeah.
He agrees with me. It's absurd for a man like myself to be kept locked up in a place like this, surrounded by murderers and common criminals. Oh, no offence meant.
None taken, I'm sure.
And of course he appreciates that I have my work to finish.
I got something pretty revolutionary on the go out there, have you?
My work purification.
What, some sort of computerized drainage system, is it?
Tell me, Mr.
Prince, Jack Prince. Feel free to call me Jack.
Tell me, Mr. Prince, do you believe that sin should be punished?
Well, it's a point of view.
And that the wages of sin have been quite clearly laid out for us in Holy Scripture?
Yeah, well, I'm not a great churchgoer. I tended to get put off when I was a kid, you see.
Death, Mr. Prince. The wages of sin is death. Grammatically unsound, of course, but morally indisputable. My wife was a great sinner, Mr. Prince.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
A beautiful young woman, full of life and laughter, on whom I lavished everything, both in emotional and material sense. A great sinner. Sins of the flesh, Mr. Prince.
Yeah, well, they're the worst kind.
Believe me, I would never make such an accusation lightly. I had causes to be suspicious on many occasions, but I would never have dreamed of acting without incontrovertible evidence. Fortunately, of course, for a man with my particular training and talents, such evidence was not difficult to obtain.
Oh, I see.
In our own bed, Mr. Prince. The bed in which my mother died.
Terrible.
Terrible indeed, Mr. Prince. That was what put the knife in my heart. That was what decided me that it would only be right and fitting that they should be punished in situ, as it were. That the place of sin should be purified along with the sinners themselves.
Ah, yes.
It took me a month working diligently in my laboratory. I didn't want any accidents, you see. I didn't want the punishment to come at an unsuitable or premature moment. I didn't want her just popping upstairs for a quick nap and going to meet her maker in a state of comparative innocence.
Dr. Paget, yes.
No. I had to make sure that the apparatus would only function when all the different potential stimuli led to the same inescapable conclusion. The audiometer had to register two different voices at a minimum decibel level. The temperature gauge had to show a specific degree of body heat. The seismograph to record a very specific level of physical activity. Only then would the machine perform its function.
Which was?
To shoot 1,000 volts of pure electricity through the metal frame of our marital bed.
Yeah, I see where that would be one up to the moral majority, but tell me, Doctor, I'm assuming I wouldn't be enjoying the pleasure of your company at this very moment unless your machine had carried out its function. So what is this work of purification you still have to carry out?
I went away for the weekend. I gave them every chance, every opportunity to wallow in their lust. How did I know her friends, the Pattersons, were having their house fumigated? How was I to know she would offer them the use of our house for the weekend while she and her lover disported themselves in the London Hilton? How was I to know that they would use the master bedroom or that they would...
Oh, dear.
It wasn't my fault. Nobody has ever disputed that.
No, no, that's indisputable.
But you see what it means. While I sit and rot here, my wife walks around free, flaunting herself, glorying in her sin, wallowing.
Yeah. You said about the wallowing, yeah. So, you're pretty anxious to get down to your purifying at the earliest possible opportunity.
Yes, but I told you, it's all in hand. Dr. Hamer understands. He's going to have a word in one or two influential ears.
Oh, yeah, but these things take time, you know. All that paperwork, red tape, it could take months.
Oh, do you think so?
Well, you know how things are nowadays. So I was wondering if you might not be interested in making your own arrangements, in a manner of speaking.
How?
Well, you know that computer, that machine that handles all the security around here?
Oh, that, a child's toy.
Oh, you think so?
I could have designed it in my sleep.
Really? So, assuming you were wide awake, do you think you might manage to come up with a method of causing a few variations in its basic behavior patterns? Like, say, getting it to open a few doors when they should be locked, or switching off the odd light and the occasional alarm bell?
Mr. Prince, as I say, I don't like to boast, But in 24 hours, I could give you a program that would do all that and work out your tax returns for a 3-year period.
Splendid.
Provided I had access to the copy of the master program and certain minimal material of my own. And, of course, we would need someone with access to the computer to feed the program in at the proper time.
Oh, well, that's where I think I can make my contribution, Doctor.
Gold.
Oi, I was watching that.
Watching it? Looked like you were studying for O-level. Tell me, just as a matter of interest, have you stirred your rotting great frame out of that chair all day?
Turn it on.
No, I will not turn it on, can't you? Well, just look at this place. Look at it. Look as though it's been hit by a guided missile.
Leave it out, worm.
Leave it out? Oh, yes, lovely. I dragged myself out of bed at 7 o'clock on a freezing winter's morning, spend all day working my fingers to the bone for 9 long hours, and come home to a place that looks like a cross between a brothel and a demolition site. I suppose you haven't even put the supper on yet, Cruncher. Cruncher!
What supper? I thought you was bringing home the supper.
I gave you a list. Before I left for work this morning, I gave you a list of various items I wanted you to purchase from the marketplace.
Yeah, but you didn't leave me no money.
Well, what about your jar? What did you spend that on?
Well, this.
Oh, I see. This is your idea of family budgeting, is it? 2 crates of beer and 6 video nasties. Well, it's not good enough, is it, Cruncher?
So what you going to do about it?
No. Well, it's not good enough, that's all. Oh, it's pathetic, isn't it? I mean, look at us. The right-hand man and the left-hand man, respectively, of the greatest criminal brain to operate in the smoke. The one's on the dole, and one's sweeping up of a betting shop and living in a poky little hole no self-respecting dosser will put his head down in. Oh, it makes you weep. You know, we'll all be drawing our pensions by the time Mr. Prince comes out.
Yeah. Maybe he said something about it in the letter.
What letter?
The one that come this morning after you went out.
A letter? A letter from Mr. Prince? Well, where is it, you dozy great pillock?
Here. I didn't open it because it was addressed to you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you daft great. What's it? There, Cruncher. Here. He wants us to steal a car.
What? You mean just to keep our hands in light?
No, you big ox. He wants us to steal a car and wait for him outside the prison at 2 o'clock Wednesday morning. Cruncher, he's coming over the wall.
Oh, hello, Tomo. Thought you'd have gone home hours ago.
I got halfway home, then remembered I'd left my fags, Mr. Fisher.
Oh, don't kid me, Tomo. If I had 6 screaming brats waiting for me, I wouldn't be anxious to get home either.
No, it's not.
Mind you, I don't know how you manage it, skinny little runt like you. Still, I expect when you got married, you were 14 and a half stone, eh? Eh? Actually, now you're here, Tomo, you can do me a favour. I'm time to take a leak. Just hold the fort for me, will you?
Oh, right, Mr. Fisher.
Not that there's a cat in hell's chance of anybody trying anything, but better play it by the book. Sharp for you a minute.
Oh, it isn't going to work. It isn't going to work. Still, not my fault if it doesn't. Now, what did he say? It's not enough. 10 grand is not enough. I shall ask him for 15. That's only fair. Oh, my God. I've done it now. Maybe I can stop it. Maybe it's not too late.
Everything all right, Simon?
Oh, yes, Mr. Fisher. Everything's sweet as a nut.
1 minute. 55 seconds. She's all mad, of course. The ludicrous fantasies of a trapped and desperate man. Just a form of mental therapy, really. That nutter couldn't even mend a broken fuse. Nothing's gonna happen. Well, yeah, the sprinkler system will probably come on and drown us all in our beds.
Good God!
Right, not sound. Don't want to wake these bucks, otherwise I'll be leading the parade out of here.
over here, Mr. Prince.
Yes! For pity's sake, keep your voice down.
Don't worry, Mr. Prince. When I do a job, I do it thoroughly. None of the microphones are working either.
Yes, Governor speaking.
It's Mr. Fisher here, Governor.
Yes, Fisher, what is it?
Thought out to let you know, sir. Everything's failed in corridors D and E.
How do you mean, failed?
Well, everything, sir. Lights, camera, alarm, it's all gone completely dead.
Bloody machines. I loathe and despise them all. Do you know, I've had the car in the garage 3 times as many
yes,
weeks...
Yes, but, sir...
Look, nothing's actually happening, is it?
Impossible to say, sir. Hello?
What?
Everything's come on again in D.
Ah.
But not in E.
Yeah, well, never mind about that. What does D look like?
Looks perfectly normal, sir. Everything's tied as a drum.
Well, then, obviously some sort of temporary malfunction. Absolutely nothing to worry about.
Yes, but, sir...
You... Good night, Fisher.
Yes, but, sir... You... Oh, suit yourself.
Worked. It won't budge.
Mr. Prince, you must allow the program to function in the correct order. That was the alarm cutting out. That was the lights and camera. And that's the door.
Forgive me, Doctor. I'm a mere child in your presence. I shan't raise my voice again.
George, you're not still eating.
I'm nervous. I always eat when I'm nervous.
I thought you said that was all supposed to be for Mr. Prince anyway.
Yeah, well, I'm just eating the hot stuff before it gets cold. There'll be plenty left for him when he comes.
If he comes.
Aye.
Well, nobody ever breaks out of that place. Not even Mr. Prince. It's a non-starter.
Oh, ye of little faith.
Mr. Prince. Oh, you frighten the life out of me.
Yeah, well, stop shaking and move that scrawny little bum of yours. I'll do the driving.
Right, Mr. Prince.
And now say good evening to Dr. Pargeter and show him proper respect. He's the one responsible for restoring my patriarchal figure to the bosom of my little family.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Oh, good evening.
Hello.
Right, up in the back, Doctor, and we'll be on our way. Oh, righty, Al. Who's that?
Mr. Prince.
Oh, it's you, Tomo. You'll have more sense than to be out of bed at this time of night.
Just wanted to make sure everything went off all right, Jack, and to make arrangements.
Arrangements, Tomo?
About my money.
Ah, those arrangements.
Yeah, and I've been thinking, Jack, Mr. Prince, I don't think $10,000 is enough. I mean, considering all the risks I run, I think I ought to get 15 at least.
I'm glad you said that, Tomo.
Are you?
Yeah, I am. And I'll tell you why I'm glad you said that. Because it shows definite signs of greed and acquisitiveness. And greed and acquisitiveness are terrible vices, Tomo. Terrible, debilitating vices. And anyone who has your best interests at heart would do everything in his power to discourage them. Good night, Tomo.
Mr. Prince.
My love to the wife and all the little ones.
Mr. Prince. You bastard. You rotten, dishonest. We going back to our place, Mr. Prince.
Huh?
Only like I told you in my letters, it's a bit cramped.
Bit cramped, is it, Worm? Yes, I can see that would be a major drawback. Of course, another minor disadvantage might just be worth your consideration is that once he knows I'm out, Detective Inspector Trellick might just think it worth his while to pay a courtesy visit to the known residence of my former associates, just in case they might have some knowledge of my whereabouts.
Oh, yeah, that too.
So, I'll tell you exactly where we're going. We're going into lodgings. We're going to find ourselves a nice set of furnished rooms and a sweet little old landlady to wake us up every morning with a nice cup of hot sweet tea.
Yeah, but boss...
Yes, Worm, something troubling you?
I mean, tomorrow... Your face is going to be all over the front of the newspapers. I mean, landladies love reading newspapers, especially when it's to do with villains.
It's all taken care of, Worm. I've thought it all through. You remember Dickie Doyle, our late unlamented colleague?
Yeah.
You remember his Auntie Vi?
What, that dark old bat?
Exactly. Living all by herself in that big empty house in Putney, nothing but her memories to keep her company. Breaks your heart just thinking about
it. Yeah, but Mr. Prince, she's as nutty as a fruitcake. She doesn't even know what century she's living in.
Exactly. She'll believe anything she's told, and nobody will believe a word she says to them. Can you think of a better landlady?
Well, I suppose.
What about him? Is he dossing with us and all?
Don't worry about me, my friend. I have my mission to complete.
That's right, Cruncher. The good doctor has his mission to complete, which we're going to render him assistance with, and he's very kindly going to assist us in pulling off a little job. Nothing too spectacular. Just something that'll make the great train robbery look like vandalising a telephone box.
Dickie? Is that you, Dickie? Hang on a second, dear. I see them since the dancing floor. I say, go away, my lover. It's not you're not Dickie?
No, I'm not, Mrs. Harris, that's true.
Oh, and I'm expecting my nephew. He's going to take me the pictures.
Oh, yeah?
Down the rocks, he's good companions. Matthews.
Jesse Matthews, oh yes, a superb artiste.
Oh, you like Jesse, do you?
Like her, Mrs. Harris, I'm one of her most devoted admirers. Oh. I wonder, Mrs. Harris, I wonder if my colleagues and I could step over the threshold for a moment or two.
And
you're off to see The Good Companions, are you? Lovely film, bright, wholesome. Fresh as a spring breeze.
Yeah, not like the naughty rubbish you see nowadays. What do you mean nowadays?
Yeah, what do you mean nowadays, you dim filler?
Sorry, Mr. Prince. Hey, I know you. I've seen your face.
Yes,
I know you.
Well, of course you've seen me, Mrs. Harris, on the telly, wasn't it? Chief Inspector King of the Special Branch.
Aye?
Yeah, you probably remember me in connection with the Mongolian embassy siege and the great Chiswick spy ring. Just two of the many threats to our national security. I'm happy to say I managed to oversee to a successful conclusion.
Oh, that's right. I remember now.
Of course you do. You're clearly a very aware person, Mrs. H, both socially and politically. May I introduce some colleagues of mine, Detective Sergeants Wormold and Wiley, and our scientific advisor, Dr. Rufus Partidar.
Hello. The thing is, Mrs. Harris, you may find this hard to credit, but there's a very real threat to the safety of this great land of ours, not 100 yards away from this house.
No.
It's a fact, yes.
What? Not her at number 33?
Number...
Not that Dolly Bove.
Dolly Bove, indeed. Or Dorothy Bove, as she, of course, appears on our file.
I knew it. I hate her. She's not... horrible woman.
Well, you ought to be congratulated on your acumen, Mrs. Harris.
Really, quite horrible. Yes,
exactly, Mrs. Harris. Now, the point is, Mrs. Harris, in order to see to it that Dorothy Bove gets her just desserts, it is essential that my colleagues and I have a base from which we can observe her without drawing attention to ourselves. Some convenient local hidey hole where we can watch and listen and collate our evidence.
What, here? You mean here?
Of course we wouldn't take advantage of your patriotism to the extent of expecting you to put up with the inconvenience without generous remuneration.
Oh, I don't care about money. Not as long as they hang Dolly Bove.
Well, we don't actually hang spies anymore, Mrs. Harris, but she will nevertheless go to prison for a very, very long time.
I suppose that I'll have to do.
Always provided, and this is what in my profession we refer to as a sine qua non, Mrs. Harris, always provided that you do or say nothing to put her on her guard or to alert anyone to the fact that we are enjoying your hospitality.
Nobody ever listens to me anyway.
Quite. And another thing, we'll be moving in a substantial amount of equipment as well, the very latest gear in modern surveillance, Mrs. Harris. Long-range infrared visual aid, ultrasonic rotable listening devices.
What do you mean you'll be listening to what goes on in her house?
Naturally.
Oh, you'll hear some horrible things.
I'm sure.
Really disgusting.
Yeah, we're used to that sort of thing in our job, Mrs. Harris. It's part of the cross we have to bear.
All right, where are you? Where are you? Where are you, you vicious, conniving, deceitful mercenary little sod?
You're talking to me, sir?
No, I'm not talking to you, Detective Sergeant Redway. I'm talking to Jack Prince.
Oh, yes, sir.
Where is he, eh, Redway? Where is the malignant little ratbag?
I don't know, sir.
3 weeks! 3 weeks since he walked out of that giant executive toy that passes itself off as a prison. And nobody's seen him. Nobody's heard a whisper. He's vanished. Crunch has vanished. The worm's vanished. Even that nutty Padgett hasn't shown up. And I'd have bet a year's pension he'd turn up floating face downwards in the Thames. Oh, it's funny, is it, Detective Sergeant Redway?
No. What I meant, sir, you seem very certain he's in the smoke and planning mischief. But he could be anywhere. Spain, Brazil, lying low in the Scottish Islands.
No, he's here, Redway. I know it. I can feel him. I can smell him. The hairs on my wrists are at permanent attention. He's here somewhere, lurking and waiting and plotting and planning. But where? Where?
Yes, I'm at Ed Assistant.
Hello, Jeannie.
I beg your pardon.
Well, you are Jeannie, aren't you?
My name is Jean, yes. To my more intimate acquaintances. Mrs. Meredith, to members of the public and total strangers.
Oh, we're not strangers, Jeannie. I admit we've never actually met face to face, although we nearly did on one occasion, but we do have a mutual acquaintance.
Oh, really? And who might that be?
Or did have, perhaps I should say. Did have a mutual acquaintance. You remember Dickie Doyle?
I'm afraid the name rings absolutely no bell with me.
Oh, Jeannie, after all you and him meant to each other, the poor old sod must be turning in his grave.
Who are you?
Take a good look at the face, Jeannie. Imagine it without this extremely uncomfortable beard and moustache.
Bloody hell. Jack Prince.
The very same.
Oh, now listen, Mr. Prince. About those diamonds, I didn't know anything.
Now, relax, Jeannie. Don't worry. I know all about the diamonds. You haven't got them. I haven't got them. It's water under the bridge. It's just that I was wondering if you might be interested in a little financial proposition that might go some way to compensating both of us for our loss.
What sort of proposition?
It's a little cafe over the road that appears to be both secluded and of a reasonably acceptable hygienic standard. Why don't you meet me there as soon as you get off work? I took the liberty of ordering a pot of tea and some macaroons. I hope I did right.
That seems very acceptable. Thank you.
Good. I'll be mother, shall I? Yes, actually, it was old Vi who put me in mind of you. She sent you her love.
Old Vi?
Vi Harris, Dickie's auntie.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Surprised she remembered my name. She used to call me Jessie most of the time.
Yeah, well, she was having one of her more lucid turns, and your name happened to crop up, by a fortunate coincidence, just as I had become aware of my immediate problem.
What problem?
I find myself unexpectedly in need of the assistance of a member of the opposite sex. Now, I'm not without acquaintances of my own in that direction, obviously, but they are, without exception, as thick as the two proverbial short ones.
I see.
Whereas the woman I require, you see, needs to have a certain maturity, knowledge of the world.
And you sort of me.
Yeah, well, the point is, are you interested?
Well, depends, doesn't it? I mean, what exactly is in it for me?
Oh, not. Say about 200 grand.
200 grand? That's the my share? What are you going to do, the Bank of England?
Not far off, Jeannie. In actual fact, a van delivering gold bullion to the Bank of England.
Security van?
That's right.
Oh, no. Not shotguns and stuff like that. No, I couldn't associate myself with that.
No, none of that, Jeannie. No weapons of any kind. This is going to be the most non-violent robbery with violence in the history of crime.
Well, all right then. What do I have to do?
Well, what is it, you see? This firm, Fosterwell, they make this delivery of bullion to the bank every month. Only, apart from all the other obvious precautions, they always make sure that it never goes on the same day of the week or at the same time of day. So what I need is somebody inside. Somebody who can give me the nod when they know the exact time the next trip is scheduled for.
You want me to try and get a job for the bullion firm?
No, Jeannie. I've already got somebody in mind. I've been doing my research, as you see. I've been lunching in a pub in the city every day for the last week, and I've picked out a likely young man. His name is Rupert Murray Nash, and he's been with Fosterwells just over a year. As far as I can make out from watching, all the other hooray Henrys he works with seem to turn their noses up at him a bit, mainly because he has to try and live on his salary, whereas the rest of them all get an allowance from Mummy or a private income from Grandad's will. So I don't think he'd be averse to a little additional remuneration, providing it was put to him in the right way by the right person.
Young, did you say he was?
Oh, yeah. Very young. Very well set up. I should imagine you'd get on like a house on fire. Bloody hell, what's that pond?
Superintendent, when are you going to swoop on Dolly Bow?
Well, it's a bit early for swooping, Mrs. Harris. We've still got a lot of collating to do.
You'll have to watch her, you know. Oh, yeah, she's a sly one. Next thing you know, you'll get a postcard from her from Moscow.
She's watched night and day, Mrs. Harris, night and day.
Oh, I hope so. I'll bring your dinner out when it's ready, shall I?
What?
Lovely Irish stew.
That's what it smells like, two dead mixing in a potato field.
Hey?
That'll be lovely, Mrs. Harris.
Oh, put him down, Cruncher. Put him down.
Cruncher!
Oh, hello, Mr. Prince.
What are you doing with the Professor, Cruncher?
Just holding him till he got back, Mr. Prince.
Just hold it. Put him down, you dozy great Neanderthal.
Oh.
I meant set him down, you great. That's our most valuable asset. If you damage him...
Oh. It's not Cruncher's fault, Mr. Prince. He would insist on going out.
Hey?
I told him and told him you said he wasn't to put his nose outside the door, but he wouldn't listen. Well, in the end, Cruncher had to grab him. We've been trying to reason with him for 20 minutes.
20 minutes?
My arm in half tired.
My God. If you didn't damage his brain dropping him, he was probably already suffering from oxygen starvation. Professor, are you all right?
Oh. Mr. Prince, I wonder if we might have a word in private.
Now, what's all this about, Professor? You know we agreed you'd stay at home like a good boy until the job was finished.
I have my mission.
Yeah, that's right. You have your mission, which we're going to help you carry out after you've helped us carry out our mission.
My work for you is completed.
Well, in a manner of speaking, it's completed, but there's still a matter of testing the various elements.
Testing devices constructed under my supervision is an impertinent superfluity.
Well, anyway, we did agree that we didn't want to run any risk of drawing attention to ourselves until the job was completely finished.
I wasn't going to run any risks. Merely deliver the device and come straight home.
What device? Professor, what device?
He had this parcel with him.
What? Open it.
Aye?
Open it. Open it.
Oh, no, oh, Mr. Prince. It's just a sort of miniature radio.
It's a bomb! You somnambulistic credit!
What? But don't drop it!
It's quite harmless.
You see, it's quite harmless.
It's radio controlled. There's no way it can be activated unless I press the button on the radio detonator in my pocket.
In your pocket, I see.
What I thought, and Mr. Prince, as a man of conviction yourself, I think you'll appreciate this. I would place the device in the telephone table at what was once our home, return here, telephone my adulterous wife, read certain relevant passages from the scriptures to her, then explain exactly what was going to happen to her, so that she might see the justice of my actions, and perhaps even repent of her sins, and then carry out my task of purification.
I'll say this for you, Professor. Nobody could ever accuse you of being a trendy liberal.
He wants looking up.
Now then, Cruncher. Right, Professor, first thing I'm going to ask you to do, if you'd be so kind, is to temporarily disarm this ingenious little gadget of yours.
And if I refuse?
If you refuse, my associate will not just raise you from the ground, but with my full approval and blessing, he will hurl you upwards with such
philosophy that the astronomers were going to ecstasies about a hitherto undiscovered seventh moon of Saturn.
Oh, very well. But that is categorically the last service I perform for you until the completion of my mission.
Professor.
I remind you that neither you nor your associate have the requisite skills to carry out this robbery without my help and supervision. And I shall do nothing, nothing, until my work is completed.
I'll just have a little word with him, shall I, Mr. Prince?
No, no, Cruncher. Ah, that's all right, Professor. Of course we'll help you carry out your mission. It's just that we can't risk an amateur like you wandering around the streets, especially in your own patch where every third person knows you by sight. Mr. Wormhole will deliver the device for you.
Eh? Oh, I see, I see. Eh? I'm being humoured, aren't I, Mr. Prince? Mr. Wormhole will not deliver the device. He will simply disarm it, and I will be deceived into thinking that my wife has met her deserts. Whereas, in fact, she will be free to walk the streets, glorying in her sin.
Professor, if I provide you with guaranteed, irrefutable, 100% proof that your missus has gone to her eternal reward, punishment, will you be satisfied?
Well, yes, of course. I'm not an unreasonable man.
Right, well, if you'd just like to settle down, watch Crossroads, Mr. Wormhold and I'll step outside and arrange the details. Worm?
Hey,
in the hall?
Did you get in that explosive?
Well, you told me I was to get him whatever he wanted. Oh, you daft pillock.
Yeah, well, Wally Bristow. Is he still in the same racket as he always was?
Wally? Yeah, I think so.
Oh, good, well, you better get in touch with him.
Bloody hell. The idea of this little caper was to provide us with enough reddish to spend the rest of our lives soaking up the sun. At this rate, I'm going to need to pull it off just to pay me running expenses.
Sir, you went?
Oh, yes, I went.
Who with? Vanessa or Fiona?
Went with Vanessa.
Yeah?
I went home with Fiona.
You didn't.
I bloody did.
What about you, Rupert?
Sorry.
Did you get up to anything this weekend?
Anything you wouldn't want to tell Mummy about?
Oh, you know, this and that.
More this and that, if you want my opinion.
Well, you have actually done it, I suppose.
What?
Oh, with somebody else, I mean.
Oh, well, of course I...
No, no need to blush, old boy. Anyway, it's your chance.
Yeah.
You couldn't lend me a fiver, could you, Tim?
No, I bloody couldn't. You already owe me 10 quid.
Oh, well, the only trouble is...
Oh, come on, Tim. Let's go and drink with the big boy. Yeah, right.
Excuse me.
Yes?
I wonder if you'd be kind enough to provide me with a light.
Oh, yes, of course.
And then, I hope you won't be offended, but I'd very much like to buy you a drink. Would you like one? Rupert? Rupert, dear?
Hmm?
You're very quiet.
Oh, no, I'm just...
I do hope... I don't know how to put this exactly. I do hope I haven't given you the wrong idea about me.
Oh, no, of course not.
And you see, since my husband died, I've been so terribly lonely. 5 long, lonely years without a man so much as touching me.
I thought you said he died 4 years ago.
4 years since he actually died, yes. But all that last year, he was so terribly ill. He couldn't... Well, we couldn't...
Oh, I see. How terrible for you.
Yes, was terrible. Because although I hope I never appear anything less than a lady in public dealings, underneath, I'm a very warm... and loving person.
Oh, you are. You're wonderful.
And then today, seeing you across the bar, it was as though someone had turned the key on feelings I thought I was going to have to keep locked away till I die. That's why I got so... Well, I quite blushed to think of the way I carried on.
You've got absolutely nothing to blush about.
Really?
Absolutely nothing.
Oh, you are sweet. Well, where shall we go, then?
Go?
I want to celebrate all these wonderful new feelings. I want to dance all night and drink champagne and end up in the bridal suite at the Savoy.
Oh, Virginia, I thought you understood. I don't have any money.
What, not on you? No. Have you got your credit card?
No credit cards, nothing. I'm completely broke.
What? The public school and everything, working for Fosterwell.
Oh, Fosterwells don't pay beans when you're at the bottom of the ladder, and a public school education doesn't count for very much unless you've got the family money to go with it.
Oh, dear.
Are you disappointed? Is that why you...
No. No, of course not. Don't be silly. Only the trouble is, you see, my dear late husband, he rather tended to spoil me. He had a lot of money and he would insist on spending it on me whether I wanted him to or not. I'm afraid I've got rather used to travelling first class.
Oh, I see.
And call me old-fashioned if you like, but I don't really think it's right for the woman to pay, do you?
Well, it is the 1980s.
Oh, no, I couldn't embarrass you like that. Wouldn't be fair.
No, I suppose not.
Oh, well. Oh, we'll just have to think of it as a lovely little, won't we? Something to look back on when we're old. Ships that pass in the night.
You mean you don't want to see me again?
Oh, Rupert, I want to, but hasn't your father got any money?
My father's dead. All he left us was a string of unpaid bar bills and a couple of paternity suits we didn't know anything about.
Oh, your poor mother.
Yes. Actually, that's where most of the money goes.
To your mother?
Yes. Helping her keep up appearances. Trying to let her live in something approaching the style she has the right to expect.
Rupert, that's really very sweet of you.
Yes, well, that lot of good being sweet seems to do you.
Actually, I wasn't sure whether to mention this or not, but I do have one or two contacts.
Contacts?
Business contacts. Being an independently wealthy woman, obviously I have dealings with one or two leading financial figures. Perhaps I could mention you to them. No? Word in the right ear.
Oh, Jeannie, could you?
Nice-looking, well-educated boy like you. I'm sure they could make use of you. Anyway, that's for the future. For the moment, if we can't go out, we'll have to stay in, won't we?
I suppose so.
What would you like to do?
What would you like to do?
Well, I think my feelings are coming over me again.
Are they?
Yes, they are. Oh, Rupert, whatever will you think of me?
Oh, Jeannie.
Now, I expect it's Sergeant Ormeroyd, one of my best operatives.
Funny thing, though. A funny thing. I thought I knew the voice.
Well, I expect you've seen her on Crime Watch. She's on all the time. Thank you, Mrs. Harris.
Oh, I don't
thank know. You. Hello.
Superintendent King. I nearly died.
Yeah, well, never mind about that. Did you make contact?
Yeah, I think you could put it like that. Anyway, I fed him all that stuff about my business contacts, like you said. Poor lamb, Yetic. He's really awfully sweet.
Is he?
Do you know that the reason he's so hard up is that most of his money goes on looking after his widowed mother?
Oh, yeah, and the rest goes on a couple of Vietnamese orphans he's adopted.
Mr. Prince, I hope you don't mind my saying this, but I think life has given you a rather negative outlook with regard to your fellow human beings.
Oh, get away, do you really? Anyway, no mind about that. There's something else I want you to do for me.
Something else?
Yeah, don't worry. Nothing difficult. In fact, just exactly what you're doing now. I just want you to answer a telephone.
I'm not happy, Mr. Prince.
Happy? What's happy? Who's happy?
I'm sorry to seem critical about a colleague of yours, but I'm afraid I have absolutely no faith in Mr. Wormhold. I should have gone myself as I originally intended.
Now, Professor, be reasonable. You can hardly turn up on your own doorstep and convince a woman you'd live with for 7 years that you come to read the meters. Whereas the worm looks like a meter reader even when he's not wearing a uniform. And that, unless I'm very much mistaken, is a gentleman himself. Well, go on, Professor, answer it. What are you waiting for?
Hello?
Hello, Doc. Mission accomplished.
You're quite sure? You're absolutely certain?
No offence, Doc, but when it comes to planting bombs, it's not a thing you can be in two minds about. You either have done or you haven't, if you know what I mean.
Tell me, Mr. Wormhold, how did she look?
Oh, you know, very nice, very pleasant, very affable.
Affable?
Well, you know, she gave me a cup of tea.
What else? What else did she offer
you? Yeah, never mind about all that, Professor. I mean, one way and another, her offering days are over, right? All right, Worm, we'll see you later. Well done.
Right, Mr. Prince.
Right, Professor. A moment has come, so to speak. You're in the driving seat from now on.
Yes, I wonder, do you think we should perhaps offer up a prayer for her soul?
Oh, make up your mind. I should have thought you'd relish the idea of her roasting away for a few million years.
Yes, yes, they do say there are special torments reserved for those who commit the sin of adultery.
Yeah, quite right, too, in my opinion. You better tell me the number.
The number?
Well, something dial it for you. Look, you've got the phone in one hand and your device in the other. What are you going to dial with? Shut up, Cruncher.
Hello, Elmbra 269. Hello, Elmbra 269. This is Elmbra 269. Oh, now this isn't going to work.
Yes, it is. It's marvellous.
Oh, I don't care how pot he is. He's going to know his own wife's voice.
Well, tell him you've got a cold or something. Look, the thing is, you do know what you've got to do.
Yeah. Yeah, when the thing goes click, I knock the phone over.
Yeah, that's right. Of course, that's the detonator, you see.
Yes, I see.
That's the thing that if the bomb was still functioning, would send us all to Kingdom Come.
Yeah, it's all right. Don't go on about it. Oh!
Right. Right, that's it. Well, go on. Don't worry, you'll be marvellous.
Elmbra 269. Hello, this is Elmbra.
Harlot.
Eh?
Painted Jezebel, strumpet, whore of Babylon.
Who's speaking, please?
Your sins have been found out. This is the day of judgment. Ragnarok, Gadamerung, twilight of the gods. It is you, is it, Lucy?
Yes.
Only you sound different somehow.
Well, I got a bit of a cold.
I see.
Go on, keep on talking.
Well, how have you been keeping in yourself, then?
Oh, I've been very well, Lucy. I've been keeping myself in good health. Thoughts of you have inspired me.
Oh, that's nice.
Thoughts of this moment. Thoughts of the just punishment I would extract in payment for my humiliation and betrayal. Are you there?
Yes, still here.
Prepare to meet your God.
Yes, all right.
Nothing. Nothing you want to say to me?
Well, no. Not really.
Nothing?
No, I can't really think of anything.
Still, Brayson. Still reveling in your sin even at the moment of truth. Too proud to beg for mercy even now.
If I did beg, would you let me off?
I can't, Lucy. Forgiveness is with God, not with man. He must judge you now.
Yes, well, that's rather what I thought.
Goodbye then, Lucy.
That bleeding child too.
Oh, hello, Mr. Prince.
Yeah, what did Wally have to do? Cut the trees down and make the paper?
No, the ink wasn't quite dry.
Not dry? God, he's had 3 days to set this up. Here, let's have a look. Not bad, I have to admit it, not bad at all.
Think he'll do the business, Mr. Prince?
God knows, he's been in a religious trance ever since the phone call. Well, we can but find out. Professor? Professor?
He won't answer you.
Oh, shut up, Cruncher.
Well, keep asking him if he wants hamburger.
Shut up. Professor? Professor? Look what I got.
What?
Look at this. You made the front page of the Standard.
The Standard?
Look, just here. Look. Wife of escaped prisoner dies in mystery explosion. Lovely young Lucy Pargeter, 28, died early this morning at her luxurious Elmbury home as a result of an unexplained explosion in her tastefully furnished Queen Anne sitting room. Neighbours who had heard the blast, etc., etc. Right, mission accomplished. Duty done. Time we moved on to the next item on the agenda. Right, Professor, tomorrow afternoon I want a step-by-step simulation of the entire operation under your expert supervision. All right?
Professor?
How can I?
Eh?
How can I involve myself even further in sin and criminality? What have I done? What have I done?
Professor!
Oh, Lucy, forgive me, my darling. I'd do anything to bring you back, anything.
Professor!
I'll rid myself of evil companions. I'll keep myself pure and stainless from this moment on. I'll work only for the betterment of humanity, only for the good of all mankind. Why, God? Why are you doing this? Is it because I burn Mum's hymn books? Is that it? Hey, I'm talking to you.
Oh, Rupert, it is nice of you.
Well, I rather hoped it was.
No, but I mean really nice. Extra, specially nice.
What, compared with your husband, you mean?
Well, compared with him, yes. But I must be honest, Rupert. There was someone before my husband.
Really?
I'm afraid he hurt me rather badly. I'd rather not talk about it.
No, no, of course not. Poor Jeannie. I wasn't really sure that I'd ever see you again.
Won't you?
Well, not after what you said, and now all this, champagne and everything.
Oh, well, I just found I was thinking about you rather a lot.
Me too. I haven't really thought about anything else. Actually, I was wondering if you'd had a chat with those financial friends of yours.
Yes. Well, I wasn't really going to bring them up. Actually, they've been rather a disappointment to me.
Oh?
All except one, and he, well, better forget it, I think.
What do you mean?
Well, there's this man, Prince. Now, I've always had my doubts about him. Always seemed a little bit shady.
Oh, yes.
Well, anyway, he wasn't interested at first. Not till I told him you worked for Foster Wills. Then he was dead keen to meet you.
Well, why didn't you say?
Rupert, it wasn't a job he had in mind. I think he wants to ask you for some information.
What sort of information?
Well, I didn't like to ask. Because, Rupert, well, I might be doing him a terrible injustice, but I rather think it was something illegal.
Oh, I see.
Well, of course, different people have different views about that sort of thing. I don't know how you look at it personally.
Well, what do you think?
Me? Oh, well, personally, I've always thought there was a world of difference between something illegal and something really nasty. You know what I mean?
Oh, yes, I absolutely agree with you. Hmm.
Do you? Well, I suppose, I mean, there's not only the question of our future relationship. There's your dear old mother to consider. I mean, perhaps I was a bit hasty to turn him down.
It is. Anyway, it might not be illegal.
Oh, I think it is. I think it must be, Rupert, considering the money he was talking about. I mean, £100,000 is a hundred... Rupert! Rupert, dear, look up! Look at the ceiling. It'll... Look up, Rupert!
Pull over, Redway.
Sir?
Just pull over to the curb, right by that old bundle of rags with the shopping trolley. Hello, Vi. And how are you keeping?
I... Who are you? Are you one of these curb crawlers?
You know who I am, Vi. Detective Inspector Trellick.
Oh, yes. You're the one what took my dickie away.
I had to take him away, Vi. He was a naughty boy.
He was a good boy. He was a lovely boy. You're all the same, you lot.
No, then, Vi.
All except that Inspector King. He's a real gentleman.
Inspector King?
About being Special Branch, he'd be a cut above you lot, wouldn't he?
Special Branch. What are you on about, Vi?
Oh, never you mind, never you mind. You'll read all about in the papers when he spooks on Dolly Bove.
Dolly Bove? You two aren't feuding, are you? What is that, 18 years?
Oh, yeah, I was right about her all along, you see, all the time. But you didn't know she was a Russian spy.
No. No, I must admit that had escaped my attention, Vi.
Yeah, typical, that is typical. Oh, I don't know how you manage without people like Inspector King keeping a country safe for us.
Yeah. Just who is this Inspector King, Vi?
You know him. You must know him. He's been on the telly.
Oh, I see. He's on television.
Well, sometimes he is. Right now, he's up in my spare room. What are you sniggering at, you cheeky young devil?
Nothing, Ma, nothing.
Cheeky young devil. No respect. You're all the same.
So what's he doing in your spare room, then, Vi?
I told you, waiting to swoop on Dolly Bove.
He's got devices.
Devices?
Listening devices, watching devices. She can't make a move without him knowing about it. He's an expert.
Yes, he sounds like it. Well, give him my respects next time you see him, Vi. Tell him I'll sleep easier in my bed, knowing men like him are on the job.
Might not.
Yes, well, take care, love.
Poor old bat.
Yeah. I suppose there aren't any special branch operations going on our patch, Gov, without our knowing it.
I can't even see special branch using Vi Harris's semi as a base of operations. Do no harm to check it out, I suppose. Detective Inspector King.
I'm not happy, Mr. Prince. I'm not at all happy.
God blimey, not you and all.
Sorry?
What is it with you middle-class types? You keep going on about being happy. Is it because you're brought up on Winnie the Pooh, or what is it? Now, when does it go? Come on, spit it out. You wouldn't be making all this fuss if the day of reckoning hadn't arrived.
Tomorrow morning, 11 o'clock.
Very good. And carrying bullion to the worth of what? A rough estimate will do. Just so I have some figures to work on.
They think the load's worth about $3 million.
I see. Well, seems perfectly acceptable. I don't think we'll be able to complain about the hourly rate of pay for the job.
Mr. Prince.
Yes, Rupert.
What about, how do I get my share?
Just keep in touch with Jeannie. She'll tell you when and where. Goodbye from me. $3 million. $3 million!
Any news, Mr. Prince?
In a sense, Cruncher, you could say that, yeah. Right, Professor.
Yes?
On your feet. It's time for the dress rehearsal.
Now, I have explained, Mr. Prince. It pains me deeply to have to go back on our arrangements. I do realize, in a sense, I have given you my word. But you must realize that a promise given to a man of evil cannot be held binding in any meaningful sense.
Yeah, he said.
I must atone for my sins. I'm sure you understand.
Of course I do, Professor. Whatever do you take me for? Cruncher.
Yes, Mr. Prince.
Do something to him.
Right. What sort of thing, Mr. Prince?
God, do I have to make every decision round here? Anything you like. Anything that takes your fancy.
Oh, yeah.
Just one moment. Just one moment. Do I understand that if I do not cooperate with you in this criminal venture, it is your intention to inflict physical violence upon me through the person of Mr. Wiley here?
Your brain is a scientific marvel, Doctor.
Oh, I see. I see. I wonder, might I just have a brief moment to commune with myself, as it were?
Cruncher.
Very well. I agree.
Wonderful.
I wish to make it plain, however, that I do so not out of any fear for my own discomfort, but to protect Mr. Wiley's soul from the burden of having willfully inflicted pain upon another human being.
I never doubted it, Doctor. No other explanation so much as crossed my mind.
Mine neither.
Right, gentlemen, we're going to run through this routine once, and then we're going to run through it again, and then again, and then again, because by the time that van leaves Fosterwold at 11 a.m. tomorrow, we're going to be able to pull off this little caper in our sleep.
Right, let's go then. Oh, stop that, all right? Just stop that and let's go. Oh, Roger, I said, will you stop that, please?
Whew.
Well, it's not my fault. I changed them just before we left and put talcum powder all over them.
You want to go and see a doctor, mate?
I've been to the doctor. He says there's nothing I can do.
Nothing?
Nothing. It's my metabolism. I've just got naturally sweaty feet. All I can do is change my socks every hour and use plenty of talcum powder.
God, I knew you had to be prepared for risks in this job, but nobody said anything about asphyxiation.
That bleeding time. Monarch to courtier, am receiving you loud and clear.
Hello, Monarch. We are in pursuit of all this twang.
How far back are you?
About 100 yards as agreed.
Right. Well, just make sure they don't spot you.
Estimated time of intercept, 1 minute. Over and out. Professor. Professor.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. I was miles away.
1 minute to intercept. Better get his stuff switched on.
Right.
Everything okay?
Of course. I told you this was child's play.
Picture's a bit fuzzy, isn't it?
There's that better.
Lovely. You could almost be there, and not a soul in sight. Oh, we're gonna make history.
Lucy.
Oh, for God's sake.
Lucy.
Professor, she's dead and gone.
What do you mean, dead and gone? That's her over there.
Hey?
Over there, over there, standing at a zebra crossing.
You lied to me.
Hang on a minute.
You lied to me. You never kill her. She never dies.
Hang on, Professor. Calm down a minute. Where exactly did you
think
she is?
Over there. Are you blind in that obscenely tight-fitting blue dress?
Professor, I don't know how to phrase this in unhurtful fashion, but I'm afraid you finally and irrevocably flipped.
What?
There's nobody there.
What are you talking
look,
about?
What you're seeing is a phantom, an illusion produced by your confused and guilt-ridden mind.
Oh, no.
The best thing you can do is to buckle down.
Concentrate on the job. It must
be a spirit.
Lucy!
Oh, bloody hell. It's time. Time for intercept. Which knob is it? Which bloody, benighted, leprosy-ridden knob is it?
No, it's nerves, really. That's what does it.
Shouldn't be in this job if you're the nervous type. He should have gone in the back instead of Nigel.
Oh, not those sort of nerves. Social nerves. I get nervous in social situations.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, well, that's it. You see, I get nervous in social situations, so my feet sweat. And then I get embarrassed about my feet, so they sweat even more.
Out of the way, you stupid great.
Eh?
He's on the wrong side of the road.
He's coming straight for us.
Look out!
Still working, just like he said. God, what a shambles. Well, come on, you miserable sods, like a tank in there. You can't be hurt. Where's your sense of social responsibility? Get out and care for the wounded. That's more like it.
Nigel! Nigel!
What happened?
Oh, some idiot ran straight into us, came right across the road. You better give us a hand.
It's a trick. It must be some sort of raid.
It can't be a raid. There's no one anywhere in sight.
Come on.
You sure it's not a trick?
Come on, they'll be bleeding to death while you're whittering.
Oh, my God. Look. What a mess.
They're not real. They're just dummies.
Hey, what's going on?
Lovely, lovely. One, two. Pleasant dreams, my children. And three. Lie down. Go on, you great bird. What are you trying to do? Audition for the SAS? That's better. And what you doing? What you doing? Stay down. Stay down. My God, he isn't human.
Show them. I'll show them. Nigel, Roger. Make jokes about my feet. Oh, yes, but one whiff of gas and they're out like little babies. Well, we know now. We know why the Lord in his wisdom gave me my metabolism. It was all leading up to this moment. This moment. Get to the van. Radio. Hero reward. Well done, Eric. God bless you, Eric. Prince Philip would like to shake you by the hand. Have a word about your metabolism.
Monarch to courtier. Monarch to courtier. Worm, you cloth-eared nerd.
Oh, hello, Mr. Prince. Everything going all right, then, is it?
No, it is not going all right. One of the guards is an android.
What?
He's gas-proof. He's moving towards the van. If he touches that radio... Tell Cruncher to get after him, like bleeding lightning.
Don't worry, Mr. Prince. I'm going. He's gone, Mr. Prince.
Good. He did his gas mask up properly, did he? Worm!
Cruncher!
There was nothing. Nothing, Mr. Wogan. Terry, I just knew it was all down to me. And, well, you just find the strength from somewhere, don't you? Oh, the handle. What have they done with the handle?
Aye, you.
Yeah, well, oh, hello, mate. Give us a hand, would you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh!
How's that then?
Mr. Prince, most of that gas must have dispersed by now. Clancy can't have got much more than a whiff. I'll go see if I can wake him up, shall I?
If you like, one. If you like. The machines don't let you down. The machines are perfect. It's the people. A subhuman element. First they want to murder their wives, then they don't want to murder their wives. Then they want to go and beg forgiveness from their wives' ghosts. The ones who should pass out stay awake, and the ones who should stay awake pass out. What can you do?
Mr. Prince, he's awake. We're moving this stuff now.
What'd you say, Worm? Of course you are, Worm, of course you are. I told you, didn't I? I told you the plan was foolproof.
Yes, Mr. Prince.
Well, go on then. Get on with it. Look at that. Look at it. You should never have doubted, Jack. Nothing can really go wrong. That's it. Heave. Heave, you great lummoxes. Heave.
You're joking. You're joking. You are joking. All right. I want a car ready to go in 5 minutes.
Oh, Gov.
I thought you
do
might
you
want...
Do you believe
this? Bullion robbery in Priory Street. Man rammed head-on by a saloon car.
What?
Only nobody's in the car, see? And when the guards get out to investigate, various apertures in the floor of the car release enough knockout gas to keep them under for a week.
Blimey. What? Who'd dream up a thing like that, Gov?
I'll give you 3 guesses. And... please don't tell me I've got him on the brain.
Well, no. As a matter of fact, Gov, I was just coming to talk to you about that.
Hey?
You know that loony scientist, Pargeter, that went over the wall with Prince? They're holding him down at Bow Street. Apparently, an hour ago, he charged into St. Martin in the Fields and dragged the vicar out into the street. There was this woman who'd managed to barricade herself inside a phone booth. Turned out to be Pargeter's wife.
Right, Bow Street, you say?
The thing is, Gov, I don't think he'll be able to help us much. He seems to have gone into some sort of trance.
Yeah, I'll give him trance.
Still, I suppose it does account for how Prince could have got hold of those devices.
Devices. Who have I heard going on about devices recently? You know, never mind, it'll come to me in the car.
Right then, gentlemen, and Jeannie, of course, if I might have your attention for a few moments, I give you the very aptly named, that Prince Among Men and Prince Among Thieves, Mr. Jack Prince!
Yes, well, that's very nice, Worm. Very moving. I'm more touched than I can say. However, I think before we continue this charming little family celebration, there are one or two items of business we ought to dispose of. Rupert?
Yes, Mr. Prince?
If you reach under the bed there, you'll find a small brown leather suitcase. Be kind enough to get it out, would you?
Right, Mr. Prince.
That's it. Now, open it up. Oh, pretty, isn't it, eh? £300,000 altogether. That's your share, Jeannie, and young Rupert's in one case. I took the liberty of packing them together since I had the feeling that your paths might be coinciding in the near future.
Well, you know.
You're right, Worm. He is a genius. We only lifted this stuff this morning. He's managed to flog it already.
Shut up, Cruncher. Worm, of course I haven't shifted the gold yet. This is just the last of my working capital. I thought that Jeannie and Rupert, not having our experience in these matters and only being involved in a one-off basis, so to speak, would appreciate a severance of relationships at the earliest possible opportunity.
That's very thoughtful of you, Mr. Prince.
Right, well, let's open another bottle.
Yeah, what's up the row?
Oh, good afternoon, Mrs. Harris. Have a drink.
I'm
Well, I won't say no to
you are a gentleman.
Quick
word in your ear.
Yes, Mr. Prince.
I've got a bit of tidying up to do around here, and it'd be a lot easier if the old biddy, Mrs. Harris, was out of the way. Now, when you and young Rupert leave, I want you to take her with you.
But what shall we tell her?
I don't know. Tell her you're going on a picnic. Tell her Dolly Bowe's been hung, drawn and quartered under Admiralty Arch at 3 o'clock. Anything you like, just get her out of my hair for a few hours, all right?
Yeah, all right, Mr. Prince.
Right, come on, everybody, drink up.
All right, then, Rupert?
Oh, yes, never better.
Mrs. Harris?
It's love again.
Good.
Well, Jeannie, this is goodbye, then. I need hardly reiterate how much I appreciate everything you've done.
Mr. Prince, may I say something?
Please do.
When you first came to me, I'll be honest, I didn't really trust you.
Oh.
No,
please.
I'm sorry, but I didn't. I kept expecting at every moment that you were going to double-cross me, do me down in some way. But I was wrong.
Jeannie, I've done some terrible things in my time. I'll be the first to admit it. But one thing I've always done is repay loyalty with loyalty. Ask anyone.
Yeah. Well, I realise that now, and I'm sorry.
Oh, well, say no more about it. You and young Rupert, that's by way of a more or less permanent fixture now, is it?
Well, we just have to see.
Ah, well, God bless you both anyway.
Oh, thank you. Well, bye now, Jack.
Bye. Off you go, then. And take care of that suitcase.
We will. Don't worry.
Stop the car.
Hey?
Stop the car, turn it round.
Oh, what's up, Gav?
I've just remembered who it was going on about devices. Detective Inspector King. I might have known. Now get this car turned round and head for Putney.
No use, Cruncher. You won't wring another drop out of it.
Go and get some more, shall I?
Now, stay where you are, Cruncher. We've got work to do.
Work?
A shift of headquarters, for one thing. We've been pushing our luck staying here as it is.
Yeah, and you know, I've been thinking, Mr. Prince...
Have you, Worm? Well done.
I've been thinking. The bill are bound to work out that we had someone on the inside. I don't think that young Rupert will hold out for very long.
And no need to worry about young Rupert, Worm.
No.
Or young Jeannie. And that daft old buzzard come to that.
Eh?
Not that there's much they could tell the filth anyway, since they won't know where we are, but... I've never been partial to loose ends, or parting with money when I don't have to, come to that.
What are you talking about, Mr. Prince?
Cruncher, look under the bed.
I
look under the bed. Tell me what you see.
It's a suitcase.
That's right, it's a suitcase.
Hey, that's the one you gave to Jeannie.
No, it's not, Worm. It's the twin brother of the one I gave to Jeannie.
You mean you did a switch? Palm them off with an empty suitcase?
Oh,
that wasn't very nice, Mr. Prince.
Of course I didn't, Worm. Think I'm an idiot? One look inside an empty suitcase would drive round to the cop shop without waiting to be asked. No, I put something in it, all right.
Well, what did you put in it?
This? Ring a bell with either of you?
That's the thing the professor had.
That's right, the professor's ingenious little bomb, reprimed and rearmed and ready to go off the minute I press this little button. Now, am I a criminal genius or am I a criminal genius?
No, Mr. Prince.
Hey?
It's not right. You hadn't ought to do that.
Sorry, Worm, I must have wax in my ears or something.
No, I... Well, what do you think, Cruncher?
Well, does seem a bit odd, under the circumstances.
Yeah. I mean, I like Jeannie.
And I like the old lady, the old nutter.
Yeah, and even young Rupert. I mean, he was all right as Toffy Nose gets go, and he did play his part.
You dozy gits. You yammering, soft-scented, mush-brained poxies. What's liking got to do with it?
I just don't think.
Think? Think? What have you ever thought? What have you had a hat to think?
Since the day I met the two of you, I've been doing your thinking, making your decisions, putting food in your guts and keeping you out of the nick, and generally holding up your knickers for you every step you take. 30 years! 30 long, weary years I've been carrying a pair of you on my shoulders like a couple of moth-eaten, overweight parrots. And now, when out of the goodness of my heart I've allowed you to partake in the crime of the century, the crime that makes the great bullion robbery look like purse-snatching, now, when I put you in the way of enough money to buy Barbados, what do I hear?
I'm sorry, Mr. Prince. I don't think that's right.
Yes, well, I am sorry. Oh, are you?
But I really can't have nothing to do with this, Mr. Prince.
Well, don't you then, Worm. Don't you do anything to offend those tender little feelings of yours. But I warn you, you step outside of that door, you can kiss goodbye to your share of today's takings.
You coming in, Cruncher?
Aye.
I'm going. You coming?
Oh, yeah. All right.
Well, go on, then. Go on, the pair of you. You won't last 5 minutes without me.
Yeah.
Well, go on! Pity I didn't get Jeannie to give two of you a lift into the bargain. Then I could have got rid of all my life's burdens with one little press of a button. Go on! Go on! Be like a father to them. How sharper than a serpent's tooth. Mine. It's all mine. Every lovely, gleaming, golden gram of it. It's mine!
I'm sure you know. I'm sure I've seen you before.
Are you?
I'll tell you who you put me in mind of, Jeannie. My Dickie's young woman.
Oh, yeah. Well, as a matter of fact...
She was much younger than you.
Was she?
Yeah, oh, and prettier.
Oh, thank you very much.
Why have we got her with us, for heaven's sake?
I don't know. Mr. Prince wanted it. It won't be for long.
I rather hope we might be going to... Well, you know, celebrate.
We will, Rupert, dear. We will.
Are you quite comfortable with that suitcase, Mrs. Harris?
Oh, yes, dear. I've got my feet on it. Take the weight off my ankles.
That's right.
Funny thing about this suitcase.
What?
I'll say it's a funny thing about this suitcase.
Oh, yes? What's that?
Well, that Inspector King, he meant to give you that case, only... Well, you know what good time he was having. So he put it down on the floor, and when he came to give it to you, he took the one from under the bed by mistake.
What?
Had one too many, I expect.
Rupert, stop the car.
What?
Stop the bleeding car. I knew it. I knew I should never have trusted that Jack Prince. Mrs. Harris, open that case.
You what?
Open it, you silly old bat.
Jeannie.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but for God's sake, open
right.
It.
All right. No need to lose your rag. Oh, I don't know. I'm all thumbs today.
Let me.
Well, looks all right to me.
I know. Aren't they beautiful? But then why did he change the cases?
I can't imagine.
What? You mean he meant to do it?
Well, I don't... Doesn't make sense.
Oh, well, I could have explained if you hadn't started shouting. Only I didn't want to say anything to... Well, you know, embarrass him. I want to show him up for being a bit tight in front of everybody. So, well, when you was having that last drink, I just sort of quietly changed them back again. You know, just to spare his blushes.
This is only the beginning. Only the beginning. I shall realise my assets, transfer them to the West Indies, and from there I shall build an empire. An empire of crime. An empire of vice with tentacles stretching out to every corner of the globe. An empire that makes the mafia look like the citizens at Vice Bureau. The dons will come to me for advice. Presidents will know that without my backing their careers will crumble. I shall make and break dynasties. First things first. Time to get rid of that little shower. Yeah. An empire. Someday, this little bed in Putney will be remembered as the place where Jack Prince first sat and dreamed the impossible dream. Prince of Thieves? Yeah, that's nothing. I shall be king. King of crime. King of the underworld. King of the greatest multinational of evil in the history of the world. May the king live forever.
In Prince of Thieves by Rod Beecham, Jack Prince was played by Peter Vaughan. Cruncher, Trevor Nichols. Worm, Alan Thompson. Doc Pargeter, Brian Pringle. Jeannie, Deirdre Costello. Vi, June Tobin. Rupert, Francis Middleditch. Trellick, Adrian Egan. Redway, Paul Gregory. Thomas, Brian Hewlett. Hammer, Sean Prendergast. Governor, Manning Wilson. Fisher, Eric Stavell. Tim, Stuart Organ. And Nigel, David Goodland. Prince of Thieves was directed by Peter King.